I'll tell you a couple of exercises that are helpful in thinking about it. Put yourself in a larger perspective. Stand apart from your life. Stand at a distance. For instance, attend your own funeral. Mm-hmm. What would you like the eulogy to say about you and the whole audience to resonate to? As a neighbor, take the different roles. Neighbor, professional. Professional worker, see? Church worker, public servant, community worker, volunteer person. How would you like them to describe your character? What would you like to be able to contribute? You know what? Now think of your different roles. Let's say you're a salesperson, or you're a manager. You may be a product developer, or a combination of all three of those. There's three different roles in your work life. See, they're roles. But you could think in the larger role, the role of being a worker, a professional, the role of my occupation. That's a role. What am I about in that area? And what are the values that should guide me? Think of your personal roles. Father or mother, husband or wife, neighbor, friend, cousin, son, daughter, brother, sister. Think of the extended family. Think of the intergenerational family, and that'll produce some personal roles. What are you about in those roles? What's important to you? Is family unity? Is integrity with your brothers and sisters? Think of community roles. Maybe in the political area, or in public service, or in volunteer organizations. In other words, you have a number of different roles in your life. So when you think about your mission, think about your roles, the different roles that you have. And then think about your goals in each of those roles. And you can break the goals into lifelong ones if you want, or intermediate or short-term ones. Essentially, a goal is kind of the end, see? The end. Where you want to end up in this particular role. That's a goal. Key is to balance roles and goals and to put them under a wider perspective. Mission, vision, values, the larger values, see? Of what the essence of my life is about and what is it I value that will never be changed. It's not changing. It never changes. As you grow and mature, you might change it, but it changes with great difficulty. You see, people can't live with change if there's not a changeless core inside them. The key to the ability to change is a deep core that doesn't change. It's a changeless core, a changeless sense of who I am, what I am about, and what I value. When that doesn't change, you can flow with changes. You don't need prejudgments or prejudices. The speed of change is accelerating, and many people are really kind of burned out by it, and they can hardly handle it. They can hardly cope with life. Then they get into the reactive frame of mind, and they have capitulated. They've essentially given up and just hope that things will happen to them that are good. They can hardly cope with anything else. That's why it's so important to develop a personal mission statement out of which you think through your roles, and then for each of the roles to think through some goals. Now let's see where we are now. If we develop a mission statement of some kind made up of two basic elements. What am I about? And then my values. What is it I value? Then you take that into thinking through each of your roles and then attach goals in each of those roles. And you think through the different roles of your life. Then you have to take that down into the specific activities, you could call them short-term goals if you wish, that will enable you to accomplish those goals in each of those roles. All of which helps to fulfill the mission and actualize the values contained within it. If you can understand that process, you'll understand the process that produces integrity. Well, not completely, though, because it's the living it, the implementing of it, that produces the integrity. But at least there is integrity between your ultimate values and mission, with your roles and goals, and your short-term goals or activities or plans, you might call them, to accomplish those. That is an integrity in the first creation. But if people are reactive and they get their scripts or programs from other people, and they're incongruent with the values that they really hold deep inside, you can see that already there's an internal duplicity, an internal breakdown that has taken place. That's why it is so important to think carefully about this. By the way, when I work with organizations, one of the most important thrusts of that work is to assist the organization or encourage them to develop a mission statement. What is this organization about, and what does it value? As the changeless core, I also recommend it for departments within that organization. I also recommend it for marriages, for families. Then you will find that you gradually build into people's heads and hearts a frame of reference, a set of criteria or guidelines that they will all govern themselves by. And they themselves have helped develop it, see? So that they don't need someone from the outside taking pot shots at them, criticizing them, directing them, controlling them. There's a shared value system there, which is embodied in some kind of a statement that they all have bought into. The essence of it to testify of their proactive nature, that they themselves can become independent of you, and that you can empower them instead of making them dependent upon you. Affirm them, you can do it. That's the exciting part about it, because see, most people are a function of the social mirror. The social mirror, the opinions, the perceptions, the paradigms of people around them. And they're just reacting to it. Most people's data about themselves comes from the social mirror. And if there's an accumulative agreement between leaders and teachers and parents and friends, this is the kind of person you are. Most people internally adopt that. And that becomes their script, see? In fact, I'll bet there are a number of people in this room right here now that have had people believe in you when you didn't believe in yourself, and they scripted you. How many have had that experience? You were willing to give up on yourself, or you became very discouraged, and you think, that's me, that's the way I am, there's nothing I can do about it. I'm Capricorn. You know, that's my astrological sign. That has dictated the parameters of my life. Sick, sick, sick. Nevertheless, argue for your weakness, and it's yours. You'll get into the self-fulfilling prophecy. But what if you could be an affirmer of other people at the crossroads of their life, where they could go one direction or another, where they're being fed by the social mirror to take the lower path, and you inspire them toward the higher path because you believe in them, and you make deposits of love, and you empathize, and you listen to them, but you don't sympathize with them. You don't absolve them of responsibility, but you simply communicate to them, you've got the power to do it, and I'm with you, and I will help you. How many have seen that movie, Man of La Mancha, or gone to the play? Remember that beautiful story about this romantic medieval knight, you know, that comes in contact with this woman of the street, this prostitute, and she's being so validated by all of the people of her life, see? But he sees in her something else. He provides leadership for her life. He starts making deposits. He sees her loveliness. He sees her beauty. He sees her virtue. And he affirms it over and over again to her. She denies it utterly. So contrary to all the other social mirrors. And she writes him off as some, you know, wild-eyed fantasizer. But he's persistent. His love is unconditional. He's proactive. He doesn't judge what he does on the basis of if it doesn't work or not. He judges it on the basis of it's right or not. And he persists, see? Gradually it penetrates the script, this mortal overlay, down into her true nature. And she starts to respond to it. Little by little, imperceptibly, she begins to change her lifestyle. And she believes it and acts that way, all to the dismay of everyone else. She begins to backslide a little. He calls her to his deathbed and sings that beautiful ballad, you know, The Impossible Dream. Looks her in the eye, brings her close to him, says, "Never forget your Dulcinea." Her name had been Aldonza. "Never forget your Dulcinea." He'd given her a new name, a new paradigm associated with the new name. Never forget it. That is exciting. Think about your children that way. Think about an employee. My friends, isn't that an exciting idea? That you could be other people's first creation, hopefully to make them independent of you and fulfilled within themselves? Just like many people were to you and to me when we were on another road. Someone made a deposit, "I believe in you, you can do it." That is so exciting to me. That is so inspiring. You imagine the contributions you could make in life if that became part of your mission? The lives you could help and benefit as a leader, as a manager, as a teacher, as a parent, as a worker, whatever. Habit two is thinking carefully through the whole process and then visualizing the end and have it in your mind, clearly in your mind. Visualize. How do you handle stress? How do you handle difficulties or fatigue or disappointment or lack of cooperation? You fly off the handle? Do you lose your cool? Does it get into your spirit? You wrap your emotional life around that person's weakness? See yourself. Visualize clearly. Let's say in your mission statement, you value integrity. Can you see yourself under compromising situations? Say no, that's it. See yourself treating people with dignity. People who don't treat you with dignity. Can you see yourself doing it? If you live out of your memory, you live out of your history, that's what once was. If you live out of your imagination, you live out of your potential. That's what can be.